Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we are continuing our sermon series, our stewardship series called Great is Thy Faithfulness, in which we are reminding ourselves, really, how faithful God is to us, how wonderful it is that God provides for us. This is our annual stewardship time, and you should have in the mail received a narrative budget, a pledge card, and a variety of other things. You can pick those up if you've not received one here. But we're asking that you will come on the 29th of October and bring your pledge card with you. And if you've pledged online, you can just come anyway. We're inviting you to come to the altar to make your commitment to God. And I have shared with you, for my wife and I, throughout our lifetime, that has always been a really special moment for us to be able to come and really give thanks to God for all that He has blessed us with as the Tyson family, and then to offer back to God a commitment to Him. And so we're asking you to bring your pledge cards on the 29th, and we'll have a special altar time where you can come forward and you can leave those. You can put them in envelopes and nobody's looking at them, and it's all good. But it's always been an important part of my faith walk with my wife, and we're inviting you to take part in that on October 29th. And between now and then, be in prayer about what it is that you might offer up to God of your time, your talent, and your treasure. So great is thy faithfulness. Great Him, we are reminding ourselves of God's faithfulness. And the chorus of this goes, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. I love that. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. I mean, how often does that happen to you, that you maybe wake up one day and you see some new mercy, some new grace that has come your way, or some event in which God is at work in you or on you or through you? And we see God's new mercies day after day. And this song reminds us that God has provided everything that we have. Everything that we have has come from the hand of God. This hymn recognizes God's faithfulness to us and the fact that everything we have comes from God, and that you are a steward. You are just merely a caretaker of that God has placed in your life. I like that this hymn reminds us of that. So last week I told you that I have some preacher friends, I guess, colleagues, that will never talk with their congregation about money. And I have to tell you, I think that is just wrong. Because money, it makes the world go round. We spend a lot of time making it, right? We spend a lot of time counting it and then passing it back out to other people so that we can have water and electricity and not have our home foreclosed on, right? How we handle money in our life is important. We don't get to say, oh, this is a spiritual thing and this is a worldly thing. They're all together. They're merged. You may have heard the saying, some people will quote this as scripture, money or wealth is the root of all evil. Y'all ever heard that? Well, it's wrong. It's not the proper reading of the scripture. It's 1 Timothy 6:10. And the proper reading of that, the love of money is the root of many evil things, is what it says. It's not money by itself. It's not wealth by itself. It's not stuff by itself. It's our heart. It's our love for money that creates the problems. It's when we don't have our relationship with our God and our money in the right place that we get things messed up. If we don't talk about our relationship with money, if we are unaware about that, we are destined to get it wrong. And the world will corrupt you in ways that you can't imagine if you don't have that right in your heart. Now, some of you might be going, well, Mike, there's not all that much in the Bible about money and wealth. Well, there is. 16 of the 38 parables are about how to handle money and possessions. That's 42% of the parables that Jesus told are about money or our possessions and their place in our heart and how we should handle them. The Bible has 500 verses specific to prayer, fewer than 500 verses that talk specifically about faith. The entire Bible has 538 verses that contain the word love. The Bible has 2,350 verses that are about money, possessions, and how we should handle them. God's word talks about money matters because how we handle our money matters. It matters. The place that we give it in our heart matters. And I think it's important that we wrestle with this because the world is telling you that he who dies with the most toys wins. We have a difficult time distinguishing between want and need. So I hope you will take some time to contemplate what Jesus tells us about our possessions, what Jesus tells us about the place for money in our life. So our text today comes from the Gospel of Matthew. It's the 6th chapter. It's verses 25 through 34. And this is just right smack dab in the most famous sermon Jesus ever gave. It's the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount is chapters 5, 6, and 7 of the Gospel of Matthew. There's these numbers of great discourses that he gives in Matthew. And this is like the biggest, it's the best. It's all of his teachings. And he's been teaching a lot to the disciples. In particular, in chapter 6, he has been talking to his disciples, warning them about you have to do things for the right reason. That even if you do the right things, but you're doing them for the wrong reason, it's as if they didn't even happen. It's about the motivation. He's been warning them about this, that you have to be careful. He's talked about don't pray in public all grandiose so people will see you, right? He says, if you're fasting, don't cover yourself with ashes, but wash your face and be joyful. In verse 21, he tells them this truth. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. In verse 24, he tells the disciples that you cannot serve two masters. You will hate the one and you will love the other. Man cannot serve both God and money. And that brings us to this particular verse, this particular story that he is telling his disciples. This is chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. Indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the word of God for the people of God. You know, my mom would teach me on occasion, she would, if I was worrying about something that was coming up, she would say, honey, don't borrow trouble. And I like that. And that's what Jesus is telling us. What you've got on your plate for today is enough. Don't be worrying about stuff down the road. Don't borrow trouble that's not even here yet. That just dealing with what you've got is enough. In this text, Jesus is talking about worry. Now let me tell you what Jesus is not saying. Jesus is not saying, don't plan. Jesus is not saying, you should just live your life willy-nilly without any sort of plan for your future. What Jesus is talking about here is anxiousness. It's a unique kind of worry. It's about this anxiousness that can take over our life. He's not saying that you shouldn't make plans for your life. You should make plans. Okay, I'm going to take my preacher hat off for a second. I'm going to put on my old banker hat. I'm going to tell you something that is shocking. Every one of us will die. Stunning, isn't it? So as a former banker, I'm begging you, please have a will. Take the time to put together a will. It is a gift to your family. Because what happens is it gets hung up in probate. And what should be a very simple and clean thing becomes way complicated. Even if you have a very simple estate, if you don't have a will, it's a hot mess. So I'm telling you now, every one of us are going to die. You need a will. So please, please get a will if you don't already have one. All right, banker hats off. I mean, really, as a banker, I've seen people that have had to deal with this. And it really is a gift to your family to have taken care of this business, to plan for what we know is inevitable, right? So Jesus is talking about worry. He's talking about this sort of anxiety. He's saying we should not worry. Again, he's not talking about planning. Some of you might be going, oh, Mike, but you got to worry about the details. And yeah, but that's not the anxiety that Jesus is talking about. I mean, our Aspire event for the ladies happened because people were sweating the details. They were worrying about making sure that everything was here and everything was right. And that is not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about this sort of anxiety that can overcome us, that can rule our lives. Jesus talks about the birds of the air and the plants of the ground. And he says, look at them. How much more does God love you? His creation. God will provide you with what you need, for you are His beloved, a child of God, and He loves you dearly. What Jesus is saying is, don't be anxious about your life. When we live a life of anxiousness, it's as if we are saying we don't trust God. That's really what this text is about. This is really what Jesus is telling us, is that you have to trust in God to provide you with what you need. And when we live this life of anxiousness, this life of worry, it really is, you are making the statement that I don't trust that God will provide. I mean, any of you had those moments in life where you just feel like God is absent? God has left you? I've had those moments. And yet, when I'm driving down the road, I never, ever, ever think, is the road going to be there on the other side of the hill that I can't see? And yet, I find myself on occasion asking myself, where is God? Has He abandoned me? This text, it's about trusting in God, trusting in His faithfulness, that He will always be with us, that He will always provide for us. Maybe not what you want, maybe not that $312 Minecraft Lego set. Maybe you'll get it, but that's a want. And I will tell you, by virtue of where you live, your needs are mostly met already. You can walk to your faucet, you can turn on water, and you can drink it. You might not like the taste, you might prefer the bottled water, but you've got clean water. There are vast regions of the world that clean water is something they struggle for daily. We're taking a mission trip to Cuba where they have a pressurized water system in a town of several hundred thousand people, and the water is not safe to drink. We're bringing filters to people's homes so that they can filter this water and drink it. There are people in the world that literally do not know where their next meal is going to come from. I bet if I walked in your pantry or your freezer, there's a whole lot of food in there. Your needs have been met. We struggle sometimes with the world telling us what we want, and we sometimes interpret that as a need. Oh, I really need that nice new Suburban. No. I will give you, in Houston, Texas, you need a vehicle, but you don't need the fancy Suburban. I mean, that's a want, right? Jesus, in this text, is telling us to trust in God for all that you need, that He will be faithful. God's faithfulness to you is great. And Jesus gives us the answer on how to do this, how to accomplish this, to not let our lives get overwhelmed by this anxiousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. That's what Jesus is telling us in this text, is that we have to seek first the kingdom of God. That is the most important thing. Our relationship with God through our Savior Jesus should be the number one thing in our life. Now, I know those of you with families, that feels weird to say that my relationship with God is more important than my relationship with my wife or my children. But I will tell you from my experience, the moments in my life where I've gotten it right, where God is number one in my life, I'm a better husband, I'm a better father, I'm a better preacher, heck, I'm just a better human being when I have it right. Jesus is telling us how to avoid this anxiousness in life, and it is by seeking first the kingdom of God. And then all of these things will be given to you as well. Jesus tells us, don't worry about tomorrow. What you've got on your plate for today is enough. Don't borrow trouble that you don't need to borrow. This text, this hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, they all assure us that God is with us, God is for us, and God will care for us, and God loves us. All you ever need is provided by God's hand. Jesus tells us in this text to trust in God. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about your life. Instead, just trust in Him. All that you have has been provided by God. So my question for you this day is, you have three things that you can offer up to God: your time, your talent, and your treasure. How will you share these three things back to God? How will you give these things to His kingdom that it might grow, that it might expand until that day when every knee shall bow before His name? How will you share the things that God has placed in your life? Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we so struggle with this topic sometimes. Money can become near and dear to our hearts, and you should be number one. We admit, Father, that we sometimes struggle with this. Help us to seek first your kingdom, to seek first your righteousness, so that we can keep the priorities in our life in balance, that we as a follower of Jesus will stand up and be counted among your faithful followers. Father, help us to avoid the perils of this world. Help us to hear your word instead of that of Fifth Avenue. Father, take from our hearts this need, our want of things, and place in our heart a need for you. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.